And we are back, even though we haven't been here yet. Good morning and welcome to this episode, this edition of The Other Side of Midnight. I'm sorry, when you do all this stuff thousands of miles away, when everybody is scattered over a good chunk of planetary real estate, when one little piece of equipment suddenly says, I'm on strike, I want more porridge, electrons, whatever. It was a battle tonight, but we are here. And we have an extraordinary guest. Obviously, I had a couple other things planned. Let me go check our web and see what we've got here. Because I want you to go, to begin this little sojourn this evening, go to theothersideofmidnight.com, click on Radio with Pictures. That will take you to tonight's guest page. And if you kind of scroll down, you'll see the usual items for me and then the items under that for my guest. Just kind of peruse those headlines. A tragic first week of July. 2. David Cameron to resign Wednesday as Theresa May to become British PM. 3. U.S. stocks hit new record high. 4. DNC employee shot dead over the weekend in D.C. 5. The Baton Rouge photograph that everyone is talking about. Or 6. Majority disapprove of decision to not charge Clinton on emails. Then we get to number 7. Click on number 7. Number 7 is what we need this morning. Number 7 is an image that was sent home a few days ago by the NASA Discover satellite, which is located about 1 million miles out from Earth in the direction of the sun at what's called one of the Lagrange points, obviously a term derived from a Frenchman having to do with the equipotential libration points in the Earth-Moon system due to the balance of gravity. Anyway, if you kind of just scroll down in this link, you'll see several images, including at the bottom there's a very nice graphic showing how this is maintained. But there are several images there showing, as of a few nights ago, or days ago, the moon, as seen from 1 million miles further out toward the sun, with a telescopic camera looking back toward the planet, looking at the Earth and at the moon, crossing the disk of the Earth at times where the orbits and the planet align, as seen from the spacecraft. And the reason I wanted to open with this tonight is because this is us. This is our perspective. This is the big picture. This is the view from 1 million miles away. When you look down at that rotating globe and that small satellite, about 1/4, crossing in front, very pale, very darkish, grayish, nondescript, and that brilliant blue-green planet behind with the deserts and the clouds and the oceans and the swirl. And obviously, when you look at that, you know that that's us. We're down there. That's everything we currently know is in that one image. And if you were in a spacecraft at that distance, as many astronauts have said, even going only to the moon, to the distance of the moon, which is 250,000 miles, the moon is, you know, 3/4 of the way back toward Earth from where you're looking at this view. Even the astronauts have said that when you hold up your palm or your hand and you can cover the whole Earth with your thumb, it gives you a perspective. Well, if you look at that headline on the top of our guest page tonight, that headline basically is where we are kind of trapped. Consciously, we're here, we're immersed in what's going on, and the lot that's been going on in the last few days is, I mean, the only word to describe it is tragic. But beyond that, and the way to find our way out of this maze, this trap, this prison, if I can allude to Alex Jones, the way to do that is to be aware of all the other things that are going on simultaneously as we look at that planet gently spinning in the void, because there are other consciousnesses obviously interacting and looking and observing what's going on here, and they appear to be, I don't know, waiting for something, a sign. So tonight we're going to talk about signs. No, we're not going to talk about the Hollywood film. We're going to talk about the work of Patty Greer, who is a self-described fearless filmmaker who took her cameras into the UK crop circles in 2006, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. And in August of 2007, she had a contact experience in a crop circle that altered the course of her life dramatically. She awakened from the experience with a relentless passion to understand the crop circle phenomenon and to film them day and night. Now, Patty had no training or experience in filmmaking, or ufology for that matter, so with that as a kind of a backdrop, she made probably one of the most powerful films in record time, 9 years, on the crop circle phenomenon. And she's visited more than 100 of them in the UK personally, and apparently has developed some kind of empathy or communication with what's behind the circles. So without further ado, welcome to The Other Side of Midnight, Patty.
Thank you so much. Good evening and good morning.
Well, before you had your epiphany, I want to get to that in a moment. What were you doing before the light dawned? When did it strike you that, wait a minute, something I'm seeing, something I'm being told, something that's part of what I assume is not the way it exactly is?
Well, my life changed when I went and trusted. I used to trust dentists and doctors, and I went to a dentist and trusted him to put porcelain fillings in my teeth. Got his free nitrous up on my nose, and when I woke up, I had a mouthful of new mercury fillings.
Oh, my. And,
yeah, it was intentional. He wasn't well, is a polite way to say. When people do too many mercury fillings, they lose their own mind like the Mad Hatters.
So. I was just going to say, it reminds me of Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah. So he must have been already mindless when he did this to me, but it was the first thing that changed the course of my life. And in my desperation to heal, after trying every kind of doctor, healer, anything in the world I could come up with, I was so desperate to heal, I went and laid in a crop circle.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how I discovered them.
Oh, so you were really kind of at your wit's end, and you said, you know, well, nothing else has worked. This certainly can't hurt. And you went and lay. Now, what year was this? What, 2006, 2007?
Yeah, 2006, I started going in the crop circles, and the very first one I walked in was when I had the epiphany. I knew the second the hair went up on my arms, the tingles head to toe, that I had stepped into some kind of vortex that was somewhere I had never been before.
Oh, my.
Now, it was physically apparent.
Do we have that image in Radio with Pictures of the crop circle that you lay down in the first time?
No, you know, it's funny. I rarely post that one. It's not as impressive as some of the really impressive ones, but I do show it in my first movie. And, of course, I have it in my files. But, no, that first one, I don't think it was ever documented publicly. I sent it into what was back then called the Crop Circle Connector. We still have it, but everything, it's so strange, Richard, everything has been compromised this year. Even our research center, for the first time in probably two decades, did not open this summer.
And why is this?
I think everything's being shut down. It is incredible, the undercurrent of fear in the those that are in the unknowingness. I guess people call them the cabal, the Illuminati, but the unknowing ones are going really up and above to try and kill all things spiritual. And crop circles, luckily they've paid a couple of major trolls that have been famous for years telling the public, hey, look over there, don't worry, this is fake.
Are we talking about Doug and Dave?
You could say Doug and Dave. I'm talking about the actual people that the Rockefeller Initiative paid money to and pushed them forward. I just mean the famous faces that have been talking crop circles have been giving you half the story.
Okay.
And I come in, luckily I had never done research on the subject. I have 9 movies now. Totally crazy. All I've done is make movies since I laid in that crop circle that day.
Okay, let's go back there, because see, an awful lot of people, we have new audience, you know, a lot of people that used to follow me when I did Coast and Bell probably aren't listening. They haven't figured out I'm over here yet. So let's assume people don't know, particularly since we're in 134 countries tonight. A lot of countries don't have crop circles. So let's start with the basic, what are we talking about? What the heck is a crop circle, and what would impel you in desperate extreme medical emergency with a mouthful of mercury to think to go and lie down in a crop circle? I mean, it does sound kind of weird.
Well, I was a professional harpist. I played piano and harp for 33 years, and people knew me as a musician. And one of the places I would play near the end was at Unity Church. I would go in there and rip some harp and bring in my CDs. And the owners of this particular Unity had gone to the crop circles in England. When they came back, I went and visited them, and I was having a beginning of a conversation. I took one look at them, and I said, wait a minute, why do you look so different? And I could see physically that something had really shifted, and I guess it was more of an energetic seeing, but they smiled and said, we just got back from the crop circles. And I said, I don't know what that means, but you look different. And they went on then to tell me about the crop circles. And what they are these huge manifestations of patterns or pictures laid into a field of wheat or corn or oats or barley or Brussels sprouts. We've seen what's called crop circles in sand, in dirt, in the tops of trees. And what you're seeing is this just
in England, or is this worldwide?
They're worldwide. And if we're in all these countries, I got to tell you, people probably don't even know that crop circles exist in their country and have happened for a few hundred years. I can't even believe that they're not talking about it, because we've had them already this summer in Holland, Belgium, mm-hmm. England, Germany, Italy. And they're happening all the time. It's just that the media, again, so controlled around the world, is not allowing them to talk about these amazing physical manifestations.
Well, there's also, Patty, you know, like Brexit. And over here, we've had, you know, police officers killed, gunned down in an ambush. There's a whole bunch of, you may want to say, orchestrated diversions. So the media, yes, which just follows, you know, there's the old cliche, if it bleeds, it leads. Crop circles are ethereal, they're aesthetic, they're scientific, they're spiritual, but they don't seem to be part of this planet and what's going on. And so it's obvious why they're being ignored, because they're not part of the programming. So as you were lying there in that field and then coming back and talking to your friends, what made you suddenly say, wait a minute, this is something I really need to know more about?
I probably knew the first second everything lit up in me. I was completely blown away that something could affect my head-to-toe field that strongly, and it was strong. And it has been that way in pretty much every crop circle, and I've been in more than 100, where I can close my eyes and be walking in what they call a tram line, where the tractor tire goes,
right,
and I can feel when I'm 10 feet away.
Oh, my.
I mean, it is such a strong feel.
Okay, back up. If you have this connectivity, this sensitivity to this physics, to this energy, we'll talk about in a little while, was this the first time it ever manifested in your life? I mean, I would suspect maybe going back into your girlhood when you were a kid, you had experiences that you didn't talk about because it was just not part of life. I mean, happen overnight, or is this part of something that you just recognized finally? Oh, this is me.
No, this wasn't me. This was something outside of myself.
Oh.
And it was nothing I had ever experienced before. So this is its own specific frequency, and it frequency is exactly what it turns out all of this is,
mm-hmm.
is enhanced frequencies of multitudes of different kinds of plasma. Spinning plasma is what's creating crop circles. But what humans see, going back to the beginning, is that when we look, when we're on the ground, what we see is this incredible field of wheat that's laid. And it's laid in circles or squares or rectangles. But on the ground, when you walk through it, most of them are absolutely meticulous, where it almost looks like they swirled it down from the center, from one center point. the wheat is swirled down, typically almost like the movement of water. And as you're standing in a crop circle, it can be 20 feet or 60 feet across. You'll walk very carefully around the perimeter, and every now and then you'll see an opening, and there's another circle and another circle. And on the ground, you have no idea this huge formational pattern that you're walking through. But from the air, as you look down, that's when you can see the picture or the message. So there are two very different elements. One is being in it, and the other is reading it from above.
Hmm. So are you saying maybe there's, I mean, obviously in your mind, there's zero doubt that this is real deliberate communication from someone, right?
From many someones, yes.
Okay. Because for many years back in the 80s, when I sent a friend of mine who worked for Ted Koppel, a guy named Keith Morgan, who the show is familiar with, Keith was going with Koppel over to London for some kind of a conference, and I said, oh, for God's sake, find a crop circle and get me some pictures. This is back in the early 80s. And the early ones, Patty, were just little circles. They were literally circles, and they ranged in sides from, you know, impressive, maybe 50, 100 feet, to the tiny ones they call grape shot, because they were almost the size of salad bowls, and they appeared to be randomly scattered around the central circle. Then the circles got more complex, and you got two circles, or you got four circles, or you got circles with arms. And in other words, there seems to have been an evolution of the geometry in the crops on the ground, almost like it was an evolution of a language tutorial from somebody or somebodies trying to, kind of in the spirit of the prime directive, the non-interference directive, say, here's a whole bunch of stuff you need to know, but we can't really make a big fuss about why you need to know it, but if you don't get to know it, it's not going to be a good hair day. Do you agree with that?
Well, I think that in the 80s, we became very aware of crop circles, but they had some really outrageous ones within the 80s that had dozens and dozens of circles and very ornate patterns. And the 90s was when they really exploded with the people got interested. Mm-hmm. And the circle makers are very much running frequency with humanity and with the earth and with all the elemental beings that are surrounding the earth and moving with us. So it has definitely increased with the attention that people gave it. But the fact that at the turn of this century, we had two major binary code crop circles that were undeniably messages, mm-hmm. then the press really started to hide the information, and they have slid it under the rug impressively well, especially now. But in the 90s through 2010, we had phenomenal crop circles every summer. And the epicenter was burning up with crop circles in Wiltshire, England. And we had an average of 170 a year documented, but 75 alone were in Wiltshire, which is between Stonehenge and the Avebury Stone Circle, were 50 to 75 crop circles every year. Mm. And they were remarkably ornate and complicated.
Okay, if we want to show people what we're talking about, which is really frustrating, you know, that's why we have Radio with Pictures. So go to Radio with Pictures. You go to theothersideofmidnight.com, click on Radio with Pictures. That takes you to Patty's guest page tonight. Scroll down, and under her items, item 2 and item 3 are two aerial images of very impressive, they're not circles, they're like crop. What would you call them? Well, what's the bigger, more appropriate term?
Pictograms.
Pictograms. Okay. Even that's kind of, I don't know, simplistic. Because look at the intense three-dimensional geometry perspective and all that, including the Masonic floor, in the middle of number two. What was the specific story of this one? It's called 50 Doorway CC. What does that mean?
Oh, 50 is the number on me, on my collection, but this is the doorway. And again, I title it the doorway, but another researcher next to me might call it the Masonic temple floor. So I think that all of us will have a different perception depending on our personal experiences
in life. Patty, do you know what it looks like to me? Have you ever been to Egypt?
No.
Have you ever seen photos of Egypt, like a place called the Osirian? which is in southern Egypt, and a crucial, important place. It's actually at the place called Abydos. The structure is the Assyrian. This thing looks like it was taken inside the Assyrian, with the lintels on top and the open sky and the verticals. And then, of course, the Masonic-looking floor is all about the physics. Anyway, so you're in the circle. You're talking. When did you decide, not ever having shot a frame of film, when did you decide, wait a minute, I'm going to become a world-class filmmaker, and I'm going to document and tell their real story?
I don't think I ever decided that, Richard. I think the circle makers said, she's perfect. Let's use her. I swear, I never planned it. I didn't do anything of the kind. But I do want to say about this doorway photo that the message that you just got when you looked at it, you saw the Osiris Temple, you saw the Masonic floor. Everybody will see something different, but something about this formation caused the farmer to mow it out the very first morning. So what we had was, luckily, some of us flew over and filmed it, but the very next morning we had a white, empty circle.
Oh, my God. Hold it there. We're at the bottom of the hour. My guest this morning is Patty Greer, a self-appointed filmmaker who is going to take us through her adventure and her exploration of crop circles. And I believe in the background we have music. Is this from Patty? M, tell me, please. Okay. Yes, this is some of Patty's music. You, how that came to be. You're on the other side of midnight. My name is Richard C. Hoagland, and we shall return. And we are back with my guest this morning, Patty Greer. So when you say that you didn't decide to do any of this, that you kind of were drafted?
It's an interesting term. You know, my first summer, 2006, I was just jaw on the floor. I went back in 2007 on my own. I had brought one of my children with me in 2006, so my amazement had to be a little toned down. 2007, I returned for 9 weeks by myself, and all I did was lay in crop circles. And at the end of the summer, I had met the people that I found to be still today the most serious croppies. And at the end,
is this like Trekkies, croppies, Trekkies?
That's right. We're the croppies.
Okay.
And there's a lot of wannabe croppies, but the ones that were laying in circles day after day are the ones that I chose to film by the end of summer. And I went to this event in Glastonbury where the top speakers from around the world were all presenting their findings. And I realized that every speaker was with me all summer in the crop circles off and on. I'd met all of them. So I asked the crew that was filming this event if they'd be willing to come and spend a day in the formations with me. So I took the crew over and filmed everyone and brought it home to, I thought, share with family and friends. And I didn't know what I was doing, but I hired a kid on Craigslist to work with the footage. And next thing I knew, I had made my first crop circle movie. And at the end, I had permission to use this famous footage called the Oliver's Castle footage, where you can watch two balls of light lay a crop circle down in seconds. Have you seen that footage, Richard?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's wonderful.
I know there was some footage from the 90s that some friends of mine who were researching, one in Germany, I think. But I've kind of drifted away from crop circles because once I figured it out, once I found that the mathematics in the circles are the same as the mathematics on Mars, which of course is heir to an ancient lost civilization that no one's talking about yet, I realized that obviously somebody contemporaneously, meaning now, was trying to tell us through the circles and through this evolutionary teaching mechanism, very, very prime directive, no big flashing lights, no big saucers the size of London sitting over London, that kind of thing, that it was up to the audience, up to the viewer, up to the student to figure it out, and a lot of people just ignore it, and a few people are watching. So my question then was, is this only intended for those who really get it to begin with? Is the message that exclusive?
That's a great question and a great train of thought. You know, the messages are for everyone. But again, you spoke straight out that the media has really caused us to focus on the Kardashians' butt photos and new purse. And, you know, that that's really where we should be thinking. And so, you know, we've lost our minds. But for me...
Oh, I see you've been following our election. Sorry. Sorry.
God, don't even start us. Oh, yeah. God, total train of thought. I fell into a trash can. Yeah. So what I had was this footage where balls of light are laying a crop circle down in seconds. I bring the footage
home. No, wait. This was footage... Hang on. This was footage you were able to shoot?
No. I'm going back to the 1996.
Oh, so you're going through the historical archives and you're picking out the clues to try to figure out what the heck's going on.
Yes. It was the highlight, I thought, of this first movie that I made, and I called it The Wake Up Call. Anybody listening? ? Which is still, of course, the question today. So here I find this footage where two balls of light lay a crop circle down in seconds, and I got permission to stick it in the movie. So I come home, I finish the film. It's 77 minutes long with the kid on Craigslist, and I thought the movie was done. And all of a sudden, I'm in Boulder, Colorado, editing with this kid. The hair goes up on my arms, goosebumps head to toe. I'm tingling like I'm in a crop circle. And the kid looks at me and says, "You look strange." And I said, right? And I said, "Oh my God, I feel like I'm in a crop circle. I'm getting total body buzz." And I said, "Show me that footage again at the end of the movie, where the balls of light lay the crop circle down." He said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know. Show it to me again." So he shows it to me. I said, "Run it backward." He said, "Why?" I said, "I don't know. Just do it." He runs it backward. I said, "Slow it down." He says, "How slow?" I said, "I don't know, 30%. And that was weird because it fell out of my mouth. It wasn't like I did the math. So he looks at me and he said, "Why did you say that?" And I said, "Don't ask. Just do it." And sure enough, he reversed the footage, slowed it down 30%, and right there in front of my eyes, telepathic communication in my mind, I found a band of binary code between those two balls of light on the original footage, which turns out to be those plasma balls communicated the message they were about to lay down and then lay down the field in seconds. And that is how I ended my first movie, a telepathic communication. I proved, in my opinion, that the Oliver's Castle footage was true.
Now, wait. When you say telepathic communication, did you actually hear a voice? Did someone say, "Patty, reverse it 30%, that kind of thing?
It's not like a voice.
Hang on. Please answer the question very carefully because I'm going somewhere with this. Did you hear a voice?
No.
Okay. So we don't know that it's communication because it may be that Patty Greer, in a previous life off planet a million years ago, understands the code, and then that when you were exposed to the energy of the circle, which of course is the same physics, that triggered within you the mechanism to interpret what you were seeing, and that's why you had all the feelings with it, because it was like a little mini experience, a little virtual reality sim. What do you think?
Well, it's possible it could have been a pre-life deja vu.
I mean, why you of all people? Why do you become obsessed and then do extraordinary work and do the documentation that a whole bunch of us have kind of wanted for years and years and years, but no one has gotten beneath the level of, oh, aren't they gorgeous? Are they fake? Are they real? That kind of thing.
The first term that comes to mind is sucker. The second one is clever little sucker. But I think that because I was highly mathematically inclined and very musical, and I orchestrated fashion shows for years with my clothing store, that I was kind of the perfect little culprit. I still couldn't tell you what any of the parts on my movie camera are called other than lens and door that opens. Short of that, I turn knobs, I aim and fire and make ridiculously informative movies, but I still today have no training. So for me, this has been quite the journey. And I have said to gentlemen that I've taken my last boyfriend, I took him to the crop circles in 2010 and 2011. And I said to him in 2010, I want to leave the camera home. I don't want to make any more movies. And he was so excited with a big pack on his back with a movie camera. And I said, no, you don't get it. If I'm over there and I have a camera, they will make me make a movie. Oh, honey, you're so cute. I said, no, I'm so serious. Don't bring the camera. I just want to go and make out in crop circles and play in Europe, and I don't want to work. The guy sticks the camera under the coats in the car, and we get to the airport, and sure enough, he pulls out the camera. And I looked at him, and I said, did you think I was kidding? So the poor guy watched me make my movie called Orbs and Light Beings. Now, this was my fifth movie, and I mean, I just, once I started, they just worked me, worked me, worked me. Every 6 months for the first 2 years, I completed a full feature film by myself. Now, it's not that I'm all that smart. It's that I was, unfortunately, my hands from the mercury, my fingertips were shredded. And they're still not great today, 12 years later. So mercury poisoning is a pretty serious crime. That, of course, kind of like Hillary getting off, you know, they just have these rules that don't apply humans. Some reason they're happening.
To make an aside here, did you have chelation to try to eliminate the mercury?
No, chelation for some reason doesn't work on people at the level that I was dealing with. I actually trusted my doctors that they were giving me the correct blood test. In America, they're actually not allowed. They give you the wrong blood test because of how many class action lawsuits there will be when America wakes up with these mercury fillings. And now they're even doing nickel fillings on the poor kids with Medicaid. I mean, it is a nightmare medical situation we're in. And it took me 7 years until I finally ignored my doctors and I got the real test, which is called inorganic mercury blood test. It's different than the ones that they offer. And inorganic mercury is what's in your teeth. And there's one lab, I'm just going to throw it out for people that have been given the wrong test, but they're bleeding out their eyes, ears, and mouth from mercury fillings. The test is from a lab called quicksilverscientific.com. And you can get the test and you'll find out the truth. It took me 7 years, so the mercury had, you know, that long to go into my system. On the other hand, it was in divine order because I needed to make these movies. And the movie that I just completed, my eighth movie called Crop Circle Diaries, is without a doubt the most informative crop circle movie that's ever come down the pike. And talk about telepathic communication. The only scientist in the world that ever proved crop circles were real, his name was William Levengood. Mm-hmm. He died in 2013. He had done unbelievable research with a woman that was in the lab with him for the last 15 years of his life, and her name was Penny Kelly. But for some reason, they pretended it was this other woman, whose name I won't mention because I try not to say bad things about public people, but they stuck this girl, this woman, in the front of the public and said that she was working with Levengood and Burke, BLT. And it turns out she was actually expelled from the lab in 1999. She wasn't allowed in the lab for the last 15 years of his life due to bad behavior, false testing. She just blew it.
So wait a minute. So when Levengood dies, she is somehow put forward as a spokesperson of his work?
No. When Levengood was alive and he was running his lab and doing all this experimenting, there was a woman that everybody knows her name, and I'm trying to be polite, that was the spokesperson for the lab.
Why don't we just mention this person? Because, you know, I don't know who you're talking about.
Nancy Talbot.
Okay, I know the name now. Okay. And you say she really had only a tangential connection to Levin Good's work, and the real gal is Kelly. So let's talk about the real stuff and forget the fake stuff, okay? Because there's so much. As you get closer to all these phenomena, Patty, you obviously know that the rabbit holes become very deep, and the disinformation, yeah. You have to wear hip waders to navigate your way through what's real and what's fake. So let's stay tonight with what's real, okay? We only have 2 hours, and we're down on time. So give us some background on William Levingood, because I knew him. I think I had one conversation with him. He was the guy doing, and I don't know how we got into it, he was doing the only plant analysis, the physical analysis of the crops in the crop circles to see if they had been subjected to some kind of energy above a board and a string, right?
Correct. Correct.
So what did you find out about Levingood's work?
Well, I think the most amazing thing, and probably what got him hacked and suppressed, was that they proved that crop circle wheat was producing 30 to 400% more product, more crop per plant, with up to 75% more nutrition per seed. Well, you can imagine how that upsets Monsanto. So, here we have...
Wait, Patty, let me stop you there. You know, we can rant and rail against media and the controllers and all that, but you and I are on the radio in 134, 135, who knows, countries tonight. And everybody has a phone and a camera. Everybody is talking to everybody. How can you keep something suppressed when everybody can take pictures and talk anywhere on the planet instantly?
Well, this information is out. People need to go to pattygreer.net website, and they're going to see the most incredible crop circles that have come down the pike. I mean, my website is available. The hacking I've tolerated since I found the communication between the balls of light, I think I am, unfortunately, the most hacked filmmaker in ufology.
Why do you keep saying ufology? What do crop circles have to do with ufology?
Well, we're not dealing with humans making crop circles. I mean, Doug and Dave are very famous.
Hang on. But then why does that automatically connect to UFOs? If we're dealing with a civilization with consciousness that can use any instrumentality it wants, why ghetto it? Why ghettoize it? Why typecast it by connecting it to UFOs when it's its own extraordinary phenomenon and has to be approached directly without any preconceived notions? Otherwise, you lose your audience. So connecting it, in my mind, to UFOs does it a disservice because it's so much bigger than the bastardized UFO problem for the last, 40, 50, 70 years.
Well, I guess it's the only category we can slide it into, but it is unknown, other dimensional beings, they thought, creating it. But what's happened since I started working with Penny Kelly and Levingood from the other side is that we've come up with a very, very clear explanation of how crop circles are happening.
Now, wait a minute. I got to stop you there because you kind of glazed right over that, assuming we wouldn't notice. You've been in touch with Levingood from the other side?
Yes.
How?
That's the first story in Crop Circle Diaries, my new movie. All of these amazing things that I've gone through,
Patty, I did not bring you on the show to plug your movie. I brought you on the show to tell us stories. People will obviously want to go and see your movie if they like the story. So tell us about Levingood. What is he saying?
Yeah, I said it this way because that's how private this story was, but now it's out. So what happened in 2014, I was speaking at a gig in Michigan, and at the end of the night, a man comes up and he sits down next to me on the couch, and he says, "You're the crop circle speaker." I said, "Yes." He said, "There's someone you need to meet." I said, "Really? Who's that?" He said, "A woman named Penny Kelly. Oh. She lives about 30, 40 minutes from here. Will you take a drive with me?" I said, "Well, I've never met you. I don't know who you are. So chances are no. But let me ask around and maybe tomorrow night."
You didn't film this, right?
And people said, "Yeah, he's a good guy. He's here with that lady," and blah, blah, blah. So I see him the next night. And I said, "So did you watch my talk today?" "No." "Have you seen my films?" "No." I said, "Okay, then what makes you think I need to meet some lady?" And he said, "Well, I've graduated all of her intuition courses, and this I know."
Hmm.
I'm like, "What?" So I went, And I thought, you know, what am I going to lose? People know him. So I took a drive. I go to her farm. We sit around a round table for 4 hours.
Now, what state is this in again?
Michigan.
Michigan. Okay.
Michigan. And so we're having an interesting conversation, but still, I'm not getting why I'm there. It's 2 a.m. I said, excuse me, I really need to go. I've got to speak at 9. You're going to have to give me a ride back, please. It was very nice to meet you. So she says, it was nice to meet you. She hands me a book. She says, let me give you one of my books. I've written 7. And I said, well, let me give you one of my movies. I've made 7. And we hug, and we're the same height, and it was cute. And I look at her book. And I didn't notice on the cover it said Penny Kelly and William Levingood. I just saw that it said consciousness. And I threw the pages and I said, oh, my God, crop circle nodes. What are they doing in your book? Hmm. And she looks at the man and she looks at me and she says, you didn't tell her who I am. And he just, you know, carved his head. No, 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 I didn't. And I said, OK, it's 2 a.m. I've been. Who are you? She said, I was the role partner of William Levingood for the last 15 years of his life. I'm like, I've been here 4 hours and you tell me this as I'm leaving? Oh, my God, we are so not done here. So she said, in 30 days, we're doing his wake. Please come back. We're going to walk the property that he owned and be in the lab. And I was all over it. I said, you bet. I'll be back. And meanwhile, I was in this driving the country mode. So, you know, from Denver to Michigan was a long trip twice. But I was there. A month later, I was so excited. But that particular night, I was extremely moved that my intuition didn't pick up that that's where I was. So the man drives me back to the hotel. And this was a gig that I was speaking at that had healers and psychics, and we were wrapped around a lake, and I was the keynote speaker on crop circles. So he takes me back to the hotel at 2 a.m. Now it's 2:30, and I see these two women watching me walk up to the door. And the one was this beautiful, smiling psychic that was the head of the psychic group, and some lady was smoking a cigarette next to her. And they're watching me, and they're laughing. And the man drops me at the door and drives a big loop of the parking lot. And as I'm walking toward them, she's nodding now. And I said, hi, good evening. Why are you laughing? Why are you nodding? And she said, there's a very lovely, tall gentleman next to you. Oh. And I turned around left and right, and I said, excuse me? And she says, a very tall man with silver hair and a silver goatee. Do you know who that is? And I said, I'm sorry, I have no idea what you're talking about. She said, well, he has a message. May I give it to you? And I said, okay. She said, he wants you to know that he orchestrated this, and he's really glad it worked. And I said, hold on a minute, I'll be right back. And I ran through the parking lot, and I'm jumping, throwing my arms left and right. And he said, I caught the guy's attention as he was leaving the parking lot, and he backed up. And I said, what did William Levingood look like? And he said, tall, silver hair, silver goatee, why? And I told him. And he just nodded and smiled, and I said, why are you so calm? I'm not so calm here. And he said, because I did Penny's intuition courses. We expect things like this. And I'm looking at the guy, and he's starting to drive away. And I said, no, that was Levingood. And he said, yes, that was Levingood.
Okay, so Penny.
And he drove away.
Levingood was putting you through a series of tests.
Yes.
And he was blunting your intuition, so you had to follow your instinct and your courage. This is about courage. You demonstrated the courage to take it then to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So what did you guys hang out and talk about?
Well, Levingood didn't hang out. He just made an appearance so that I would get what I was in.
Okay.
And a month later, when I came back, my first night at the farm, I was planning to stay for the weekend, go to the wake, drive back. First night, I lay down in one of Penny's guest rooms, and I see him, Levingood. And now I'd seen photos of him because I studied after he...
Wait. He appeared in your room, or he appeared in a photograph?
He walked through the door in front of my eyes. I'm laying in the bed, and I saw him walk through the door. He came up to the bed. He looked right at me, and I'm laying there just big eyes like watermelons. And I said, I know exactly who you are. And he said, I did orchestrate this, and I'm very glad it worked. And that's how I met Penny, how I met William Levengood.
That's not bad. Penny, Patty, that's not bad at all. Okay, so you guys are off to the hunt. What, for the audience, we got about 4 minutes till the station break at the top. What did Levengood do that is so remarkable that both you and I think he's a really great scientist on this?
Well, number one, he proved that how crop circles are happening, and we will talk about the origin of crop circles when we come back. But the fact that he proved that you could recreate the frequencies in crop circles so that we could take seeds and hit them with these frequencies, and now we can make seeds grow 30 to 400% more food with a huge amount more nutrition per plant. To me, this is one of the greatest things that Penny and Levengood came up with. And it is, of course, I believe, the reason that they suppressed his work. It was too good for the food supply, too good for humanity. And these are the things that too good needs to be coming to the public now. I'm ready for too good. How about you?
Well, what's so interesting, and again, when I have very guests on the show, particularly guests that are looking at scientific things, they intersect every once in a while with the research that Robin and I have been doing with the so-called hyperdimensional physics model, traipsing around to sacred sites all over the planet, particularly pyramids. And I'm thinking now of the pyramids in Tikal, where we were told by a Mayan shaman who was part of a lineal tradition that what the Mayans used to do is to have the peasants bring the seeds from that they were going to plant for the future year, the future season, bring them to the square, the town square, between these two massive pyramids there at Tikal, and they had a two-week festival, you know, drinking, carousing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. End of the 2 weeks, they pick up the bags with the seeds, they take them back, they plant them, and they get 40, et cetera, 60% yield, et cetera, et cetera. It's the same physics, Patty, except the ancients built pyramids to amplify it, and whoever's doing the crop circles is showing us another modality, which is called plasma physics, which if you swirl it, if you rotate it correctly, a plasma, an electrified neutral atomic cloud, is able to create the same torsion effects that are created by the pyramids as standing solid-state amplifiers for ancient farmers to increase their crop yield. In other words, the guys who kind of focused your attention on these things and why they're important, they knew what they were doing.
B-I-N-G-O, bang! Yep, you've got... got it. And you're speaking the right language, Richard. Thank you so much.
Hold it there. Hold it right there. We're at the top of the hour. We're going to give our station breaks for all the people who like station breaks and the NBC tones. I love our NBC tones. You're on the other side of midnight. My guest this morning, Patty Greer. And when we get back, we're going to talk about a physics and a lesson plan and where we can take it to make the world what it should be and not what it seems to be right now. We shall return.
We want our planet back. It's been going on too long. Everyone is waking up.
And we are back. The other side of midnight, my guest this morning, Patty Greer, we're discussing crop circles, and as you now know, because I kind of gave it away in the tease before the top of the hour, crop circles are part of an energy phenomenon that has been an ancient part of our human condition for thousands, if not longer, years. And for some reason, in our modern civilization, our 20th, 21st civilization, somebody has chosen to reintroduce this ancient modality for changing everything, beginning with what we eat. And we have with us tonight a gal who has been documenting this by getting down and personal and, as they used to say in politics, down in the weeds, in this case literally, to try to figure out what these messages, what these geometries, what these signs were trying to tell everybody. Patty, please continue.
Great. Well, as people look at numerous pictures of crop circles, you're going to see that there's different kinds of messages. And for instance, the two that we have on the site, the one that we talked about was the doorway, which is a pictogram, a picture that tells the brain a story. And a lot of times we'll have very simple pictograms, which are like these compressed files of huge amounts of data, such as you'll see a pyramid, a triangle, and the brain just goes wild with all this data. Or you'll see a cross, or a star, or a Star of David, and the brain has all this information that's a compressed file that tells you all this information about this one little symbol. So that's a pictogram. And then sometimes we have actual pictograms of birds, fish, bugs. For example, 2009, the whole summer was birds, fish, bugs. We had the sacred scarab, the beetle, the dragonfly. You can see the gorgeous dragonfly on your pictures on the website. And as you look at this dragonfly, there's veins in the wings. I mean, they leave
nothing out. This is number 3 in Radio with Pictures Tonight under your items. Stephen Alexander dragonfly.
Yeah, gorgeous.
Okay, and
photo.
If you clip on that, click on it, makes it much bigger. Okay. Oh my God! Look at that detail. Even you're right. The patterning in the wings. So
veins.
Yeah.
Ornate.
If these guys are doing themes, biological themes, are they in essence saying in the crops, using the crop as the medium? You know, we're back to McLuhan. The medium is the message. The medium is life. The energies of life are what they're trying to tell us about. But why? What are they trying to get us to conclude and then do if there is, in fact, an intentional communication for a very long time going on here?
Well, we had the bugs, we had the birds, we had the fish. The birds, we had the rising phoenix with the veins in the wings, the hummingbird that looked like the Nazca lines, the thunderbird, ancient Native American, and then we had the fish, we had the swirling dolphins, the 1,500-foot-long octopus, the incredible squid, and 8 months later, Richard, BP oil spill. Killed millions of bugs, fish, birds, dragonfly. Killed millions. I think it was a warning summer where they were giving us a very clear pictogram session of all of the species that were about to be seriously discontinued due to the oil spills that are still going on today, still being allowed. I think that 2009 was the summer of discussing this incredible environmental problem. At the turn of this century, let's talk about codes, because we have pictograms, we have codes, we have star maps, and we have sacred geometry. There's all these different styles of messages, but the codes, to me, are incredibly informative. Do you remember at the turn of the century, we had the alien...
Hold it there. We're at the 5 after. Couple of minutes for a break. We'll be back with my guest this morning, Patty Greer, and we're discussing crop circles and meaning and messages. Don't go away. And we are back with my guest of the morning, Patty Greer. So we were getting up to the point of how are these things produced? And you keep talking about plasma balls. If you go to theothersideofmidnight.com, everybody, and click on Radio with Pictures, that video there under Patty's items, click on that. About 3 minutes in, I believe there are the plasma balls that you picked out of the file footage and thought was important and then slowed down and had played in reverse. When you say, I guess people could do that in their computers too. They could do everything you did and they could see the same thing, right?
You'd have to be dealing with the circle makers, I think, to be doing it.
I mean, if we have a video of a crop circle being made by two plasma balls and you took that video and you reversed it and you slowed it down, Would not the audience see what you saw?
Perhaps.
Well, yes or no. I mean, if
yes, that's how I found it.
Okay. And when you say it, what did you find? Is there literally some kind of code on the screen between the two balls visible in the image? Or is it more...
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
It's you actually have it in your collection of photos, and it's the second to the last one. It's called 11 Dot Balls of Light Communication.
Okay, so we scroll way down to the bottom, right? Is it which image is it? Is it 11?
Number 11.
Number 11.
Yes.
11. Of course, 11 is tetrahedral. 11 is HD physics. That's why 11-11 is important. So, oh, my. Now.
So that's what I found, was a binary code between the two balls of light. And that's when the hacking began at pattygreer.net.
What hacking? What hacking?
Well, I've had to rebuild my website 3 times. And I have had somebody spend a ton of money hiring a team of very professional hackers to do insurmountable numbers of bad actions. This month it's Amazon. They've hit my Amazon. I'm telling you, this is not a fun field, especially for a woman. And I'm clearly pushing the buttons of somebody with a lot of money that doesn't want my work to get out. And unfortunately, I do know who it is, and it's hard to stop them. So,
hang on. Who is it?
I'm not going to say it on the air.
Why not?
It's
since they know who they are and you know who they are. It's not like it's a secret. If they have you in their target, Patty, the only defense, and Art and I discussed this decades ago, the only defense against insurmountable odds and overwhelming resources is public attention. Being on this show, being on as many shows as possible, and spreading this information as widely as possible. So as my grandmother used to say, you know, you can't put the feathers back in the pillow on the doorstep after you've released them from the pillowcase.
I have had very difficult times with the distributors in America. All 3 of my distributors have been horrific, and the 2 that I'm still tolerating are hiding my films from the public. So it's my distributors. It's the distributors. The film distributors are horrific, and they really are filling the market with circus material and hiding the important stuff, which is, I know for one example, my movies. So luckily, they only got the first 4, but my 4th movie, I took this very footage of the balls of light and the communication I found, and I stuck it in the beginning. And I stuck it in the beginning 3 times, because the public has got to get it. The crop circles are not going away, they're not going to stop, and that they are actually very real. And you are the first radio host that's asked me to name names, which I think is really profound. But when you're dealing with lower-than-low entities, they're dying to sue you. So for me, I'm a little bit guarded and careful with naming
names. Yeah, but they can only sue you, Patty, if you're telling lies. If you're telling the truth, they can't sue you because the truth is your best defense.
Well, I love that.
So, I mean, obviously, I don't want to get you sued, but if the name of the game is to kind of upset the apple cart so that the suppression and the censorship does not continue... Fighting truth with truth is important. So let me just about that, okay? Let's move on.
Yeah.
So in terms of this barcode between the 2 plasma balls, did you ever get anyone to help you decode it? Is it decodable? Do we know, does it say anything, or is it merely there as a, quote, this is a code, pay attention?
Well, great questions. So after my 4th movie, Crop Circle Update, The Wake-Up Call. I stick it in the beginning 3 times, and I won all these awards for the film, and still, not one Crop Circle researcher today, still not one, Richard, has said to me, wow, great find, thanks for proving it. No, none of them did. But a few really smart people that saw me win the awards said, you really need to bring in somebody with those initials behind their name, PhD, or, you know, whatever initials impress people. You need to get somebody to back up what you're doing because you are so woo-woo with you lay in crop circles, you get this telepathic information, and then you make a movie with no research. People aren't going to buy it. I'm like, well, ask me if I care. I don't. That's how it's happening. So he said, no, seriously. So I bring in, I said, give me a name. So they give me this name of a guy, Mr. Famous, sits in front of this big wall of gear, and he tells people if their balls of light are real or fake. Jim Dellatoso.
Oh, I know. I know Jim. I've known Jim for decades.
All right.
In fact, literally, right. You want to hear about synchronicity, Patty? Robin and I were literally discussing. So she's in Phoenix, and we were discussing her going around after her conference and going and finding where Jim is. And so you're going to tell me that Jim's a bad guy?
I'm not going to say that at all. And I normally don't say his name when I tell this story, but I knew you were going to make me. So,
well, but
Jim,
remember, Patty, not everyone is enlightened to the same level. I have found over the years, much to my disappointment, that an awful lot of stuff that I thought was people being very clever and suppressing stuff is simply because they're too damn dumb to see it. They really don't get it because they don't see it. And that, to me, has been a very humbling experience, because here I thought I was dealing with a whole bunch of very smart people who were out to keep the world in darkness. No, they're in darkness, and they won't allow the light in. Therefore, their darkness spreads. But it's kind of like their self-chosen role, if you can think of it that way. And you just have to go over them, around them, under them, through them, but you don't let them stop you, even in their ignorance.
Well, you've set up quite the laugh for me. So you're looking at this photo. It's a straight line with two plasma balls at the end. Mm-hmm. Jim Dellatoso takes 2 months, and his answer is, it must be an eyelash that fell on the original footage.
What? Wait a minute. I can do better than that.
So
I could talk about digital to analog, you know, whatever, in the scan lines between the two bright light sources, etc. He actually said it was somebody's hair, because we're not even dealing with film. We're dealing with a digital product.
He said it must have been an eyelash that fell on the original footage.
Well, that's very disappointing.
Okay. So there you go. And that's why I wasn't going to name him. But that's what he told me. So here's something funny. Em is sending me so many funny messages. So here I said to him, well, thank you for that extremely profound answer. And thank God I didn't pay you. So there you go. So anyway, here I am now working with Penny Kelly. And I show her this image. And she looks at it and she says, oh, my God, what a great photo of two plasma balls communicating in binary code. Bingo! I'm like, see, now I'm dealing with, number one, a woman who's totally truth. Number two, somebody who is open to tell me the truth and is allowed, is what I'm just going to say politely. Mm-hmm. So Penny looks at it and she goes, where did you get this amazing photo? Because that's just a moment in time. I said, Oliver's Castle. I mean, we were both stunned. And she said, on camera, in the new movie, which I won't name again, she said, well, what we're
the
looking
movie.
At...
No, you name the movie, by all means. Name the movie.
Circle Diaries.
This is their homework. Patty, this is their homework, okay? All over the world, they're going to go and look at your movies.
It's amazing, this last one. It's the last I'll ever need to do. So Penny looks at this photo, and she goes... She said exactly what it was, but then she elaborated the final answer, which is exactly what I knew the minute I saw it. She said, you've got two plasma balls. They're telling each other what they're going to do, and then they lay the formation down in seconds.
Okay.
Incredible.
All right. I mean, let's leave that there as a model. Darren, one of our regular listeners, is calling in who has a question. Darren?
Hi, Patty. Nice to talk to you.
Hi, Darren.
I just had one question about the 2002 crop circle with the alien head.
Yes.
The one that scares the bejesus out of me. Was that thing real?
Wait. Was this the one that appeared outside of Chill Bolton, the radio antenna complex?
There were two. One was 2001. One was 2002. He's talking about the alien face and the disc.
Yes,
and
the
it was
disc
a huge
with all
binary
the weird...
code.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second, because I was heading into that story before the last break. Let's keep in mind that 9/11 had just happened. And what did the code say? The binary code said, beware the bearers of false gifts. and their broken promises. Much pain, but still time. Believe, there is good out there. We oppose deception. Conduit closing. To me, that was a response from 9/11.
Interesting.
That's what I think that was. And the very year before that, the turn of the century, we had another binary code crop circle, which was the Chill Bolton message, the Arecibo message, where we had sent that specific information out into space to the star cluster M13. 25,000 light years away, we send a very specific message about the shape of the humans, our DNA structure. We had 9 different very clear bits of information that we sent out, and at the turn of the century, they returned that message almost identical, but all 9 subject matters had slight changes. They added the element silicon.
Mm-hmm.
They added a larger head, smaller body. They had a different DNA structure, a different star map layout. So
Hang on. It wasn't a star map. It was the solar system. Patty, the message of Chill Bolton, the return message, was all about our ancient history, genetics, this solar system, and the morning after 9/11 happens. It's like, talk about diversion. Talk about changing the subject.
Yeah.
Because I had some people over there doing actual measurements, and I did on the evening of the all night of September 10th, 2001, I spent the night with Art Bell on the air talking about the Chill Bolton crop circle and decoding it just like you and I are discussing it, except I had someone there measuring with actual instruments who could tell the difference in the energies between inside the crop circle and outside, and this was after the farmer had cut the damn thing down. The energy signatures were still there.
Absolutely.
So those
The farmer can't take away the ultimate frequencies.
And what's weird is the guys who were telling him to do this, the black ops crowd, you know, the 10th of 1% that run the world, who have this technology down, they don't seem to be able to bring something out there in the field and neutralize the signature either, which tells me they put on their pants one leg at a time, like all the rest of us.
I don't think they have it down, Richard, or they wouldn't be working on us in the fields. I think if the military had it down how to create these crop circles in this frequency, they'd be doing it.
I didn't say they knew how to create them, but I think they understand the idea of signatures, and where you cover a signature is by putting another. It's like jamming, like, you know, when the Russians used to do radio jamming. By the way, we have someone else who's joined us. 172. Anyway, give us your name, where you're calling from.
Yeah, this is William from the Dark Woods of Pennsylvania.
Oh, the Dark Woods. What's up?
Yes. Well, as you know, I spent a lot of time in nature, and I was looking at that dragonfly crop circle. And if I'm not mistaken, that is a female dragonfly picture.
Okay. This is getting interesting.
Not sure why that's important. Hang on.
Female means gestation cycle, means reproduction, means the cycle of life. It's not trivial. Is it possible that there's a specific genus or family or species of dragonfly that they're that particular?
No, most of all female dragonflies on the planet, if I'm not truly mistaken, the back wings of the female are smaller and heavier outlined than the males. The males have equal wing segments. The wings front and back are the same length.
Oh, but these aren't.
No.
So that tells us?
That is a picture of a female dragonfly.
Patty, what do you think?
Well, I think the curious thing is those circles going down the back. What are all those patterns, those little jagged things?
Well, to me, when I saw them, I'm saying, oh, have you ever seen those National Geographic displays where they show you cutaways of the planet Earth or cutaways of Mars or Jupiter? We just sent a mission to Jupiter.
Yeah, that's what I looked at.
It looks like Earth at different stages going back in time.
Gestation.
Yes.
Could be. The other thing I noticed was the dots outside the circle.
Yes.
They're equal.
Now, Richard,
yes.
No, they're different.
Well, yeah, the two smaller at the beginning and the two larger at the back.
Are we talking the white dots in the field by the tram line, the top one, and the one kind of next to the wing on the bottom?
Yes, I believe. I don't have the picture in front of me, but I believe the two smaller ones are in the front and the larger ones are in the back.
Well, the wings, the larger ones on this one are in the front and the smaller ones are in the back. But then you've
got two little
circles, white, and then within within the dragonfly, on both sides symmetrically of the abdomen, of the circle that we're going to claim represents the abdomen, that looks to me kind of like, you know, the planet with continents moving around, you got two more circles that are definitely different because they've got crop around them but white inside. So, Patty, when you were lying in the circle, I wanted to ask you this. You said you're tingled and you physically felt totally different, like, oh, I'm there's definitely something going on. Did you get any insight? Did you get any cascades of memories or images or visions or knowledge or somebody trying to tell you something?
Only when I pass out.
Only
and
when
I
you
would
what?
Do that regularly.
Back so, up. Only when you so, what?
Only when I would pass out in the center of the formation, I would wake up and feel differently. But when I would just lay there, it was more tingles and buzz and elation and ecstatic feeling. It wasn't like I was hearing information unless I closed my eyes and let go of my present consciousness.
Patty, I wanted to ask you, is that like getting chills or is that a different kind of feeling?
Well, it's chills head to toe. It's a very strong, like if you saw something that really scared you and your entire body lit up. This isn't fear, though, so it's not about scared, but it's that same feeling when you just can't control it. Everything in you is just lit up.
By the way, so we have it's a caller fear. Trying to call in. Laura, you got to update your Skype because if I connect you, I lose everybody else and I can't do that. So please go and update your Skype and then try calling back. Sorry, guys.
Richard, you got to do that on your computer, too, not just your phone.
Oh, right. Yes, whatever device you're using, because they're all connecting and talking to each other.
Yeah, I tried on my phone like several times, and then once I did it on the computer, it was fine.
Ah, do you hear that, folks? Every device that's got Skype on it, the same thing. You got to update all of them. Okay. I heard someone giggling. Who was giggling?
That was me. If you call in on the other 505 number, you don't need Skype.
Nope, you don't need Skype if you call on 505. Okay, anything else?
No, I'm
well,
good.
Well, every
Thanks,
minute
Richard.
Is precious. Every minute is precious now, and I really want to talk about how crop circles are happening.
Okay,
because this is a science that we've never gotten into in the field.
Okay.
And I can tell that none of the other researchers are talking to me because I think we've just taken it finally to the point of answering the big questions.
Okay, we got 2 minutes at the bottom of the hour. Give me a setup. Give me a tease. We'll come back from our commercial, and then we'll launch into how do they do it and why.
What we have, and this is Levin, Good, and Penny discussing this, is we've got spinning plasma vortices coming out of the Earth. Crop circles are not coming out of the sky. They are literally coming out of the Earth in counter-rotating vortices. And what we have is these different levels of different frequencies that have very clear boundary conditions. But all of these frequencies spinning together are what is creating these crop circles to happen in seconds.
Okay, let me ask you this. How do you know it's the energies coming up from the Earth and not down from the sky? What are the measurements?
Well, what we have in the photo right above, I think it's number 10, is Stephen Greer holding two compasses in the middle of a crop circle, and north is both directions.
Okay.
That, to me, was physical manifestation that the center of that crop circle in 2010, where I met Stephen Greer for the first time, we had two counter-rotating energy systems that were spinning in opposite directions. To me, that was physical manifestation of what Levin, Good, and Penny discovered that's happening to lay these formations down. And to me, that was proof positive.
Okay. Well, let me come back and talk about that a little because we don't have time now. We're on the other side of midnight. My guest this morning is Patty Greer. We're discussing crop circles, these incredibly enigmatic, beautiful, extensive formations that have appeared, beginning first in England around Stonehenge, and then spreading around the world and down through time in increasing complexity And if you kind of think in terms of Shannon information theory, meaning more complexity is more information, meaning more communication, you can almost trace an ascending complexity of communication of something to us here on planet Earth. And then the question is, who's listening besides Patty and you? We shall return. Back. If you have a message, if you have a coherent, you know, train of thought being expressed, there's got to be a consciousness behind it. The question here, of course, is where is the consciousness, and how do they physically make this stuff happen so we pay attention?
It's such a magnificent science when we finally get down to the truth of how crop circles are happening. So there's two things that are not a coincidence. One is, almost every crop circle in the world documented is sitting over an aquifer of water. So we know water is an important element in creating crop circles.
Wait. You say Hang on. You say almost every? Why not every? Or are we
96
missing?
96 or 7%.
Okay. So in the others, it may be we just don't know enough yet.
Correct.
Okay. See, that's important because when you're dealing with scientific patterns, we need to explain the patterns so people understand the logic. So most, if not all, of the crop circles appear to be over aquifers. Important point. Next.
Yes. Most, if not all, crop circles are sitting on a ley line, which is a direct line between two sacred sites.
Define ley lines, please.
A ley line is a direct line between two sacred sites. Well, if you've got a church over here and Stonehenge over there, and you take a map and you draw a straight line, that is the ley line between Stonehenge and this particular church.
But there's more to it than that, that the so-called ley lines actually are energized in and of themselves. Yes. In the ancient British landscape.
Yes. And the British landscape ley lines, because there are so many sacred sites, are like a spider web encompassing all of England. So these energetic ley lines, which are very strong within the earth and above the earth and into the atmosphere, these ley line energies can be noticed by people that are sensitive. So, yes, you're absolutely right. It's a much bigger story than just to call them a direct line. But this area appears to be the epicenter for the last 200 years because we have the largest salt aquifer in the world under southern England, and we have more sacred sites per square mile than anywhere else on Earth.
Now, when you say centered, you mean in the Wiltshire area between Stonehenge and Avebury, like that location?
Correct. Stonehenge, Avebury, Glastonbury.
Ah.
The major ley lines in southern England, the Michael and Mary lines, cross in the Avebury Stone Circle.
Mm.
Now, everybody's heard of Stonehenge, but most people have not heard of the Avebury Stone Circle, which is even older and larger than Stonehenge.
Mm.
And the circle makers have been using this area because also southern England has these gorgeous canvas fields for the circle makers to deliver the messages. And so with all of these huge fields getting hit year after year after year, we know the fields with the highest frequencies. We know the fields with the biggest magnetic pull to the circle makers. So when we do night watch, we're up on the hillsides overlooking those very fields because they get hit year after year after year. So what Levengood and Penny figured out through using magnets with plants was that they were definitely dealing with plasma frequencies.
No, wait a minute.
And then,
Levengood would have collected. I think he had members of his loosely bound group. They would collect plants. They would send them to him to analyze back in his lab. And mm-hmm. he would what? Measure their magnetic properties?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. They were actually called charge density frequencies. So he was working with particular frequencies that were found in crop circles and nowhere else. And what was happening in crop circles after getting hit with these frequencies was that the plant, literally made of cellulose, all plants are literally plastic, the liquid inside the plant would boil. And it would expand the nodes, these little supports, every 5-6 inches on a wheat or barley plant. They have what's called a node, like a little support elbow. And the nodes, when the plant was hit with the frequencies, would explode. And sometimes they would have a steam, a black burn hole, or they would extend, called elongated nodes. And the tops of the wheat sometimes would curl, and very, very unusual biophysical changes would happen in the plant to where they knew that something atypical happened to that field.
Okay, hang on, because this is very, very important.
Yes.
Back when crop circles were making finally the big push in mainstream media, these two characters, Doug and Dave, appeared. Very old codgerish, you know, who would go to the pub for a pint, and they wore these cute little hats with little aluminum circles and hanging down in front of their eyes. And they claimed they had created these incredibly geometric extravaganzas, thousands of feet long in some cases, with a board and a string or a rope. And it was patently absurd, except the media bought it. And everybody went away and said, oh, it's Doug and Dave doing crop circles. Well, the problem with Doug and Dave is if you stand on a board and press down on a field of wheat, you're going to get a lot of crushed wheat, but you're not going to get what Levengood found, which was that some kind of energy had been applied. Energy, not a board, not a string, energy had been applied to the plants, and they'd literally blown their nodes because the water inside had vaporized to steam. So obviously yes. That's not Doug and Dave, and obviously Doug and Dave were a well-funded cover-up by whoever doesn't want us to know who's really doing all this and what kind of technology they have and why it's critical to us.
Correct. And when you walk into a crop circle, if you look down at the wheat, which we always do, every 3 feet you're going to see a line of broken wheat, boards, and ropes.
Yep.
Human-made. Now, but I do want to elaborate on the human-made crop circles that are incredible, because this is something that I had not known before. In 2014, I take Sasha Stone, beautiful man who's doing the New Earth Nation, into his first crop circle. And this thing was gorgeous from the air. It was so ornate. The schematic of something was magnificent. We're going, what's the message? What's the message? So I got a film crew. We've got a drone. I am so excited to film this crop circle and a wonderful, brilliant man in it. So we take him in, and I walk in, and I got the camera guy with me, and we're setting up the gear. And I look around, and I said, crap.
Aww.
I have no tingles. I have no goosebumps. I think this is a human-made crop circle. Dang it. So Sasha Stone comes in, and we get to the back of the formation, and beautiful day, beautiful filming. And on camera, we both say, well, it feels like a human-made crop circle. And here I am. I point up to the hill, and I say, well, there's a sacred site up there we can see on the hill. And over there, we can see another sacred site. So we are definitely on a ley line. We're still over an aquifer. It's got all the elements that could make it a real crop circle, but I think it's human-made also, because I have no buzz, no tingles, nothing. And there's 5 women sitting in the crop circle, beautiful, you know, sitting along the edge. So we shut the cameras off, and I said, do you ladies have anything to say about this formation? And the main lady said, hell yeah, we do. And I said, can I film you? And she said, hell yeah, you can. So I was like, uh-oh, this is going to be strong. So she holds up 2 photos, and she says, we are the Quantum Energy Generator QEG team. And I said, oh, my God, I've been reading about you, a free energy device. She said, yes, that's us. Nice to meet you. Yesterday, we were sitting in the Avery Stone Circle with our entire technical staff, 12 of us, sitting in the Avery Stone Circle, praying for a crop circle to give us a confirmation that our free energy device is going to work. She holds up a photo of the QEG. She holds up the air shot, the one from the air of the formation. Richard, they were the same.
Okay.
And in that moment, I realized that crop circles sometimes manifest through human consciousness, and once in a while, they will use human artisans to make those formations.
Okay,
It doesn't mean it's not real.
Let me give people some context, because this is another very important point that can easily get lost. When the phenomenon first appeared back in the 80s, at least the modern phenomenon, and I know there are woodcuts going back to the 16th century and whatever, the big question was, are they real or are they memrex? Are they done by whatever process, unique physics process, or were they done by human beings? They're evolved in England probably in the 90s when the big geometric thing started appearing. There evolved a whole cottage industry, Patty. I was astonished, of artists and technologists who literally go out and create as many fake crop circles as they could, like completely inundating with noise the real ones. But now you're saying that some of these people might have been inspired by the guys making the real ones to make fake ones that are as good as the real ones with the same message content, except they're missing the energetics. But if they're using the same technology, but they weren't. They were using boards and strings, right?
Correct.
So,
but they were getting telepathic information, much like my movies.
Well, again, you keep saying telepathic, but see, to me, telepathy is like us now. We're talking on the phone, you know. I hear your voice in my head, you hear my voice. You know, this is not telepathy. This is something much more subtle, that's much more elegant. It's not as crass as language. It's much more archetypal of the phenomena itself, isn't it?
Yes, but see, to me, telepathy is not us talking on the phone. To me, that's physical communication. Telepathy is the unseen, unheard communications. And that's just my perception. But my movies were all made at 3 a.m. I would be awakened night after night after night after night. And I would wake up in the morning and have notes next to the bed that I wrote that I didn't remember doing. But I do remember a lot of nights saying, oh, God, let me sleep. And it was like, no, get to paper and pen. So for me, they would wake me up with the information. And I barely remembered writing things down. So for me, that's telepathic.
Okay, so when you say that you're in telepathic, I'll do it again, telepathic communication, you're lumping intuition, a hint, a nudge, all of this nonverbal into telepathy.
Not all nonverbal communications are telepathic to me. To me, it's an intentional communication coming on a different level of my consciousness. Okay. It's somewhere between my unconsciousness and my soul, where the information comes through. It's not conscious communication.
Okay.
But so, it becomes conscious once I receive it.
So in terms of, I mean, to me, either your films have done it or maybe you need to think of it as a future project, but has anybody taken and cataloged all of the known circles from the beginning, from the 80s, and put them in terms of regions and these underground aquifers and done an evolution of geometry to basically see, kind of like a time-lapse film, the education process, the school to which someone apparently has been trying to take us?
That's such a great question. I get asked every big show I do, somebody says that, and I always say to them, what a great job for you.
No, Patty, this is your obsession. We have a few other obsessions we're following, but no, someone should do that. If you don't do it yourself, since you know what you know what you know, you need to somehow organize other folks to do it. But to me, that now we've got enough data that if we back off and look at this pattern, the evolving pattern over time, there's got to be something important in that data, don't you think?
Well, I'm sure there is. And again, is anybody listening? That is the punchline. Is anybody listening? Because it really is astounding that these formations are this ornate with the veins and the wings and the incredible messaging. And the fact that people are not talking about it, it just blows my mind. And you know, even the secret space programs now and Elon Musk and all these guys with all their big talk and NASA and Boeing and all these big corporate monsters with all this huge amount of money, they're pointing all their attention way out into space, ignoring the fact that we're already being communicated with on Earth right here, right now, have been for centuries through crop circles. And what I want to finish the show by saying, and I want to be very clear, that it's not just the Earth speaking, but crop circles are coming out of the Earth and counter-rotating vortices. We also know that there are elements of human consciousness, such as the QEG day, such as in Crop Circle Diaries, I had finally remembered where they took me, and it was the Akashic Records Library. But what it looked like to my memory was a crystal castle. And the night that I remembered the crystal castle is where they took me, I woke up the next day and swear to God, there was a crystal castle crop circle delivered in England, and it was 10:30 at night when I remembered. I was in tears. I was with a friend, and she was staying in the guest room of my lake house, and when we woke up, there was a brand new crop circle. I got a letter from the crop circle connector in England and photos of the crystal castle crop circle. I look at this formation. I'm in tears. I'm like, oh my God, they acknowledged what I remembered last night, and they're saying to me, yes, this is true. This is where we've been taking you. This is how you know all this stuff. And yay, you remembered. So I'm looking at this formation, and it's a castle. It's stars and oval and rectangles, but there's not one circle in the formation. My friend comes downstairs. I'm on my second cup of coffee. I'm crying again, staring at the Crystal Castle crop circle. And she says, what's going on? Why are you still upset from remembering where they took you? And I said, no, look at the new crop circle. And I'd done the research. It was like the 50th or 60th crop circle of the summer. It was the only one without a circle. And I commented, this is a unique one. It has no circle anywhere. And the very next day, Richard, I woke up, and on top of the crystal castle, there was a huge circle with the symbol of a goddess inside it. And I just took it personally and said, I can barely tell anybody this, but it is, again, a physical confirmation of human consciousness affecting the Earth, and the Earth delivering a message to acknowledge, yes, Patty, we hear you. So what we have, in my opinion, is the Earth speaking through humans sometimes, but not always, and occasionally we have extraterrestrials that need what I call a star map. You had a different term, but where they're flying over and they need to let the rest of their posse or their crew or their other craft know where to go. So they lay down a crop circle with the Earth. They communicate, we need this particular star map, and they throw it down in a field somewhere where they need it shown, and then it's available for anybody or anything flying over. So what I feel is happening in crop circles is the Earth is definitely a living being. Gaia, the mother, she is definitely alive. The gestation of the dragonfly crop circle with all the different spinning possible visibles of the planet or other planets. But what we have is the Earth speaking to us. My God, what we've done, fracking and sucking her blood out. Why wouldn't she be speaking? And she's trying to get us to wake up. So she's including us. She's including the other dimensions. And all of us are co-creating these crop circles together. And the messages coming through water also tell me that water is a very important element. And these messages, these sacred geometries, these frequencies go then out into the waters of the Earth, out into the tributaries, out into the oceans. So we've got the Earth, the waters, the humans, and all other entities in the atmosphere, in the cosmos, involved in laying down these messages and receiving them. Crop circles are a miracle, and they should not be ignored. And I believe that I've made 8 movies that really tell the truth about them, and I hope that they're going to get out to the world.
Okay, you said you do your movies at 3 o'clock in the morning. I presume you don't shoot then, that you're actually crafting the computer and taking, you know, story arcs and footage and B-roll and all that, right?
Nope. Nope. No, at 3 in the morning, I'm sleeping. At 3 in the morning, I don't want anything to do with writing script. But 3 in the morning is when, for some reason, the other dimensional beings like to awaken a lot of people that are doing this work. Hmm. For me, it was almost always 3 in the morning.
See, and now that's weird because when I was in touch with Colin Andrews, I met him through the crop circle thing. And I met him, I think, at a conference here, whatever, and then we kept in touch when he went back to England in the 80s. He was awakened, he said, at 4:15 a.m. every morning by something. When he was on his obsession on the trail of crop circles trying to figure it out, him and Pat Delgado, he kept being awakened at 4:15, and he said one day, "Dick, what's 4:15? So I looked at various, you know, symbolic permutations. But for you, it's 3 o'clock.
Yes.
Well, that means
Colin and I work on very different frequencies.
I was going to say,
Colin is Mr. Famous that proved the Oliver's Castle footage is fake, and you can all go back to sleep now. And people still believe it. Colin also, and Nancy Talbot, also had a fight on Colin's website at the top of the year. Well, Evan Good's a liar about the PhD. Well, Evan Good's a liar. Well, okay. So there you go. So they're both very famous, and they're both telling the world that Levin Good's a liar about the PhD. But finally, the truth was exposed that the PhD, it was just a story of how they hid his research. And the fact that Colin saw my movie, Crop Circle Update, The Wake-Up Call, where I stuck the footage, the communication that was not an eyelash that fell on the original footage. The fact that Colin saw the movie and said to me, "Hey, the wife and I saw it, quite liked it." And I looked right at him, not knowing he was the guy that proved it was fake. And I said to him, "How'd you like it in the first 2 minutes that I proved the Oliver's Castle footage was real?" And he just stared at me. So I asked him, when I learned that he was the one that proved it was fake, I said, "Would you be willing to go home and watch it again?" And after lots of emails back and forth, his final punchline was, "Well, I'm not going to say you're wrong, but I can't say you're right."
Okay, and what do you think that's telling you?
Well, he said that he worked with the secret detectives and the Nippon TV team, and they spent a lot of money proving it was fake. So I don't want to say anything further, but I think that there's got to be a part of him that's bugging his eyes out right now, because my final movie, I did include Jim Delcato, but he doesn't know it yet. And what happened was, I was speaking at Star Knowledge Conference with the Native Americans, and a beautiful man named Bear Cloud came up to me and he said, "Patty, I've got the original Oliver's Castle footage and I need to give it to you."
Okay, let me stop you here. having been good friends with Colin, I don't know where to put that story, except that I do know that Colin can be impetuous and very, very headstrong. And with a lot of people who kind of accumulate a reputation, it's very hard for them to basically say, "I was wrong," after they made a kind of an impulse decision. So let's leave Colin aside, and let me talk about what I want to talk about in the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show. Sounds to me like Robin and I need to come to England. You need to take us through the crop circles, the ones that are coming this season, and we need to measure them. Because oddly enough, when we were on our last trip to England, I was able to measure ancient sites, we measured Stonehenge, we measured some other places. There's obviously a physics here. It's obviously reproducible. It's obviously scientific. It's obviously, once you understand the technology, it's instantly reproducible everywhere. The one thing I was not able to do because of equipment problems was to measure crop circles. But the energies in terms of our model of crop circles and ancient sacred monuments, as we described earlier, is the same. So we need to set up an agenda to go with you to measure circles and then to report back to this audience. In fact, we might be able to do it live, particularly if it's at 3 o'clock in the morning when they drag you out of bed. I'm a night person, as you can tell. So that sounds to me like a plan. What do you think?
Well, I think that 5 years ago I would have jumped on and said, "Let's do it." But you can't imagine what the military has done in the last few years to kill the epicenter. And the fact that our research center didn't open this year for the first time says that they've been rather successful. And the infighting of the researchers over there is something that I've never been a part of, nor will I. But the farmers are mowing out the fields. They're being told to kill the crop circle phenomena, not let the people in. So it's a mess over there now, kind of like our elections are over here.
I was going to say, it sounds like my kind of fight.
Well,
the best way to do this is to make it public. Look, we're in 135 countries right now. If we were to go and do live broadcasting from circle to circle and art and ancient site to ancient site for a couple of weeks, when's the best time? July, August?
July.
July. So we're talking about between now and the end of this month.
Yeah, June, July is prime crop circle season because the wheat is up, the corn is up. Mm. But the thing is that the energy of the people over there has become very strange, very frenetic, and they're not allowing the phenomena to even be talked about. I mean, this new movie, the technology, to me, the technology, the science that's finally exposed to me is the most important thing because it's undeniable that crop circles are real.
As long as you can get people, Patty, as long as you can get a lot of people to kind of pay attention. Look, we're down to the last 2 minutes. Let's plug your movies again, okay? Where we can find them, what the titles are, and what are you working on next? 2 minutes.
Well, my final Crop Circle movie, I think, is the most important thing I've ever done, Crop Circle Diaries. And my website is pattygreer.net. I have 8 movies. I've made 2 this year. And interestingly enough, the other movie I made completely off the wall, but at 3 a.m, they gave it to me. And again, it's through dreams that I get these movies. It's not that I wake up and do research at 3. I don't. But that movie's called The Women of Today. I thought, woohoo, finally a movie without UFOs, except it's got 3 women working on the Mars mission. One of them is the woman working between BOA and NASA, building the space shuttles headed to Mars. Mm. So it's interesting that the women are really, we're not talking like the guys with all the money. Hey, look at this big spaceship, you know, things we're building. The women are actually building the ships and doing the work. And I think that all of us, men, women, children, there's a lot of us doing the work, but it's time to get out of our ego, stop focusing on the famous people that were made famous by big money, and really get down to the people that are doing the work on the ground. Crop circles are real. They're coming out of the earth, and it is the earth speaking to us in a very, very clear, blatant message. And these binary codes can be read and looked at, and my movies have proved it over the last 10 years very easily.
So my first, well, thank you, Patty. It's been an extraordinary adventure with Patty Greer, Crop Circles. We'll keep you posted because I kind of want to go to England to measure crop circles. So until tomorrow morning, same time, same bat channel. Remember, third star on the left, straight on till morning. Good night, everyone.